AM Columbus, W224 EG Madison, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu. The Supreme Court today takes arguments on the legality of the charges brought against January 6th insurrectionists.
Federal prosecutors have charged more than 300 people with obstructing an official proceeding, including Donald Trump. Today, the High Court will hear arguments over whether the obstruction law has been properly applied. It was passed in 2002 as part of the Sarbanes-Oxley financial reforms. Defense attorneys say it applies to documents and congressional investigations. Federal prosecutors say it can and should be read to cover the riot that delayed the counting of electoral votes. Stephen Portnoy, ABC News, Washington.
Jury selection resumes today for Donald Trump's hush money trial in New York City. Not a single juror was chosen on Monday. The New York Yankees announced that health concerns are spurring the immediate departure of 85-year-old longtime radio play-by-play announcer John Sterling. This is ABC News. Federal authorities in Nevada are looking for two men caught on video destroying rock formations along the Redstone Dune Trail in the Lake Mead National Recreation Area.
The first time I saw the video, it literally made me sick to my stomach.
Spokesman John Hayes, the destroyed formations are upwards of 140 million years old.
It's taken a really long time to create this unique and beautiful environment. The damage is unfortunately permanent, and people won't be able to enjoy that particular location as much as they might have before.
It was their space junk. NASA confirming that the mystery object that came crashing through the roof of a home in Naples, Florida last month was a chunk of equipment the crew of the International Space Station shoved out an airlock. The space agency says it was a metal support used to mount old batteries on a pallet. The whole thing was supposed to burn up during reentry, but a 4-inch by 1.5-inch chunk survived. I'm Richard Cantu, ABC News.
Hey, this is Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute. All right, we have all had that moment where it is hard to resist an impulse purchase. Last year, I bought this heart-shaped waffle maker because I was like, won't that make Saturday morning so much fun? Well, it turns out when you don't use the darn thing, you don't have that much fun. So here are two ideas to help all of us cut back on spur-of-the-moment spending. First, unfollow your favorite brands on social media. Last year, companies spent $68 billion advertising to us on social media. They know that stuff works. And second, make a wish list. I love this. I keep mine in the notes section on my phone. When I see something in a store or online, and I didn't have a plan to buy it, but I really want it, I put it on my wish list. And if I still want it a week later, I check my budget and I see if I can afford it. Somehow, I don't think the waffle maker would have made the cut. For more tips on spending less and making more, head on over to workmoney.org. Take good care.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. A statue honoring the first black woman elected to statewide office in Wisconsin is going up in front of the state capitol building in Madison this summer. The project got final approval Friday. Vell Phillips was elected Wisconsin's Secretary of State in 1978. The O.J. Simpson murder trial 30 years ago had a lasting impact on the way Americans consume news. Commentators became a fixture of trial coverage, and they're still used to interpret current events to this day.
It also meant that people could suspend their critical thinking to a certain extent. And I believe we're still seeing that today. The rise of social media has only made it easier.
Jane Kirtley teaches media studies at the University of Minnesota. And that's what you need to know. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
The Bucks prepare for the playoffs. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks holding practice sessions, getting ready for game one of their best of seven playoff series against the Indiana Pacers. Did the Bucks take their foot off the gas in their loss to Orlando, knowing they would host game one in Milwaukee? Bucks head coach Doc Rivers.
Somewhat, but a little different. You know, listen, we didn't play well down the stretch. Had a lot of stuff going on. And then mentally, I just think, you know, When you know you're in, you know you got home court. I don't think that we handled that very well. And we just got to keep playing until we get to the fourth round.
Baseball, the Brewers losing to the Padres 7-3. It's the first time this season Milwaukee's lost two games in a row. Starting pitcher Joe Ross held San Diego to just one run until things fell apart in the fifth.
I was sick the way that happened, just because Ross is throwing the ball so well. You know, broken bat hit, bloop hit, infield hit.
That's Brewers manager Pat Murphy. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
A little sunshine this morning with clouds increasing and scattered thunderstorms developing by later this afternoon. It's going to be cooler and windy today with a high of 62. More rain and thunderstorms tonight into tomorrow with an inch or more of rain possible. Could also see a couple of strong to severe thunderstorms later today into tonight as well, so be weather aware. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 46.
Broadcasting from the city where the official bird is the plastic pink flamingo, this is Mad Radio 92.7 WMDX.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Broadcasting live statewide from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who has a black and white plasma TV, Pete Schwabba.
Welcome back to hour number two on this Monday night edition of Nightlight. Great to have you with me. I am Pete Schwabba. Conrad is riding shotgun, working the board, taking the texts, washing the clothes. It is National Laundry Day, folks. So what is the appropriate amount of times you can wear clothes without washing them? Conrad's mom finally checking in. I was getting worried. Paula says, it's not how long you can go without washing. It's how much your family can handle before they say, wash your clothes. It stinks. I'm guessing you don't hear that from your mom, Conrad.
I mean, maybe when I was younger, definitely.
Probably stuck with you. coming up at 8:35 from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, Chris Foran will join me. We're going to talk about the new Chris Farley movie that's in the works, based on the book by his brother. Right now, I'm talking with film producer, director, writer, and just filmmaker. Bob Brown is with me. He is a Michigan-based filmmaker and a very good friend of mine. Bob, where were we?
We were going to chat about Grounded.
Yes, let's do Grounded. But before we get to Grounded, Conrad, we have a little surprise for you, Bob. It's about a minute long, and it's going to help you make even millions of more dollars on Escanaba in the Moonlight. Go ahead, Conrad.
The loins of our union, Big Betty Ballou and me bore two boys, Reuben and Remnar. I'll tell you right up front, they are not the sharpest tools in the shed. Remnar turned out to be pretty much what you'd expect from somebody who went by the name of Remnar. But Reuben, well, Reuben was a different story. Reuben spent his whole life without hanging a single buck on a buck pole. That ain't a big to-do if you're just another fudge sucker bopping over the bridge, but for a sody. Luckily, that Injun gal had a way with him.
Wolf Moon Dance, will you still love me if I come back without a buck?
Now, some things fit together better than others, and it's hard to say how somebody who was so much a part of the natural order of things would fall in love with somebody it wasn't so natural. But she did. And lucky for him. Because as great-grandpa Alphonse always said, behind every good man is a woman who can hunt.
See that, Bob? You put it on YouTube, or somebody's putting it on YouTube, and it allows us to raid it. And that's Harv Presnell, the very funny Harv Presnell, who's been in Coen Brothers stuff and was also in Super Sucker for You. You had a great cast. Yeah, it was fun.
Yeah. It was great. Harv's a great guy. So when I first met Harv, he showed up, and I was stopped in, and he was at a wardrobe fitting, and he was putting on his coveralls. And I looked at Harv, who was a big guy, very big guy, 6'6", probably 6'7".
He looked like a big guy.
Yeah, I looked at those coveralls and I go, man, those aren't going to fit. And so he says, oh, don't worry about it. And he's pulling and grunting and groaning, getting up. And he turns around and goes, so? And I go, what? He goes, how's my package look? I go, hadn't looked, Harv. But I thought, here's the funny man. This is a funny guy. We're going to get along just fine.
If you had a nickel for every old guy who asked you that question, Bob, you'd never have to make another film.
That's right.
All right. So check out Escanaba in the Moonlight. You won't be let down. It's a really fun, feel-good film. Jeff Daniels, Harv Presnell is in it. It's a great cast. Very well done. Let's move on. Your new film is Grounded. You shot it in Tennessee. Tell us about Grounded.
So Grounded is, it's a true story. It's based on the life of a very dear friend of mine who I met when I was six. He was kind of like the older brother I never had. And the weird thing about it is we were pals for maybe, 6 years. And we both grew up spending our summers on this little peninsula that sticks out in Saginaw Bay called Sandpoint. And he had five sisters and himself. So he always came down to my house. And he was just, again, like the older brother I never had. And of course, then he went to college. We lost touch. In 1993, I had built a place on Sandpoint for my family, and he bought a place on Sandpoint for his family, and he's a pilot, and there was this guy who was flying the seaplane up and down the shoreline. And so I walked, he pulled it up on the beach and spun it around, and I walked down to just to check out this airplane, and he walked around the corner, and we're chatting for a minute, and I go, Dave, and he says, Bob, and so we reunited in 1993, and our families, our kids were the same ages, and our wives hit it off as friends, and so we became close friends again in 1993. Yeah. So it's based on his life, and basically, Pete, the thing about it is that, we've all lived more, we've all experienced more, we've had more ups and more downs, as we've have been fortunate enough to continue gracing the face of the earth, and thematically, this movie is very different because it's a, it's a biography, it's a drama, it's about family and love and loss. And so when Dave sat me down one day and he goes, I want to tell you a part of my story that you don't know. And he told me this story about his life. And he's a very, very successful man, but he missed the point of living to a great degree. And I thought, isn't that interesting? Because it reminds me of me in certain ways, and it reminds me of everybody else that I sit back and watch in a lot of ways. And, and Dave in his life, he thought he was living his best life. He thought he was living correctly until life turns around and knocks you in the head.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden you realize, maybe I'm not correct. Maybe I'm not living life the way I want to live it. And so we took that story and we created a very touching, very moving feature film. And, I tested the movies like I always do with a blind audience. And the test scores were through the roof. And so...
But they were blind?
They were blind. They were... They were uninformed.
Well, you're a stickler, man.
all they knew was that they were coming in to see a drama. They didn't know. They didn't know who was in it. They didn't know what it was about. It was, you go into a city, you recruit an audience, you're going to buy them a popcorn and a Coke and give them a free movie ticket, and they're going to sit down and talk to you for a half hour, 45 minutes, and they're going to fill out this questionnaire and score the movie for you. For your benefit. So that's a test screening that we do. And I did two of them and they were both very successful. So the thing about the movie is that people relate to it because everybody has regret of some sort, the one fashion or another. Everybody has regret. And the message of the movie is, don't end up like Dave and be at the end of your life and you can't do anything about this regret. Understand who you are and what you're doing and what's needed by the people that love you and you love, and change your life when you have the opportunity to change your life. Otherwise, you're going to end up feeling like him for the rest of your life, which isn't so good.
Yeah, it's a very heartfelt, very different than Escanaba in the Moonlight or other films you've done. I mean, it's got a lot of heart. You had a great cast, and you shot in Tennessee, and so where can people see that now, Bob? Is Grounded out there? Are you still working through the process?
No, it's not out yet.
Okay.
Still working on the distribution process. And, it'll have a meaningful distribution, which means that, you know, people will know of the movie as opposed to, you know, never heard of the movie. And they'll know of the movie and they'll have access to the movie in all the various mediums and all the various ways. But we're getting some really strong interest in the movie, and I just haven't finalized putting the deal together yet. But most importantly, maybe you should talk about the Schwabba boys and their role. And as the writer and the director, I'm proud to say all of your scenes on both you and Joe, they all made it into the movie. Nobody got cut.
You know, it's so funny. First of all, yes, that was a really fun experience. Joe got down there. I have a 21-year-old son who is pursuing acting, and he sent you a tape, an audition, and he got a couple line role. And I was more concerned that he would get cut. I really wanted, you know, it's out of your hands, but I was really excited that his part made the movie. And I just assumed I'd be cut because I'm too handsome. But you're right, though. When we went to the premiere in Detroit last fall, it was just so much fun. The movie looks great. I mean, the production value is incredible, and you wrote it, you produced it, you directed it, and well done, man.
Thank you. Yeah,
you got to. I
will definitely keep you posted. No doubt about that. But you know, as all the, you know, if there are any of those independent filmmakers listening or wannabes listening, you know, it's a tough road. People don't, you know, as in so much in life. You know, it's not what people think it is. And it is definitely a ton of work. But there's something about it, to be able to see it come to life and to elicit that emotional response that you're trying to elicit, where you're watching people literally fall out of their seats inside the movie theater watching Escanaba in the Moonlight, literally falling out of their seats, gasping for air, you know, crying their eyes out with the Grounded. It's still... I think that's the hook. That's the drug that gets you.
It is. And once you experience it, you're hooked. Like you said, it's like, that's all you want to do. It's like when I did stand up and I would tell a joke and it got a laugh, I was like, oh my God, it's a pretty good feeling. I just made people happy. That makes me happy. You know, whatever. It's a very intoxicating feeling, but keep up the great work, Bob. And next time when you get some information on the distribution, come on back and we'll talk about that a little bit. We can tell people where to see Grounded starring Pete and Joe Schwabba.
Joe Schwabba, that's right.
We do have top billing,
position,
right?
Old man.
Okay, all right. Just, yeah. I thought I explained that's what I needed to do the picture, but I called it a
above
picture.
The title.
Yeah, above the title. That's it. Bob, thank you so much, buddy. You're the best. Have a great night, and
thanks, Pete. Okay.
Thanks for being on Nightlife.
Appreciate
Bell.
It.
All right, later.
My pleasure. Anytime. Thanks.
Yeah, bye-bye. That's Bob Brown, filmmaker Bob Brown, Michigan-based filmmaker Bob Brown. He has done it all for Michigan, and he's very proud of that. Like, you know. Most people have to go to one coast to the other. Bob's made it work all in Michigan. And check out his work on IMDb. He's made several other very, he's worked, I didn't even get to ask him about, but he worked with Kathy Bates, Joan Allen, and Jessica Lange in a film called Bonneville. He had three Oscar winners or Oscar nominees. That's pretty cool. All right. In just a few minutes, Chris Foran from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel will be here. But otherwise, this is another big day. It's National Titanic Day. Did you know that, Conrad?
I did not know.
All right. And one of the people that was on the boat is buried here in Green Bay. We're going to talk about that next. This is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Matt Radio, WMDX, Madison's home for Matt and Air on Air.
Busted Pencils with Dr. Tim and Dr. Johnny.
I wonder what Matt Damon's mom would say when it comes to teaching science to little kids.
Wait, what? You want to know what my mom would say? All right, well, just ask her.
And there she is, Dr. Nancy Carlson Page. Welcome to Busted Pencils. Nancy, how are you?
Hey, I'm great. It's great to see you. It's great to be here.
Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. Weeknights at 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Todd Alba Show.
Who do you want making the decisions for your daughters if you're a girl dad? I have two girls, 14 and 12, and I still consider myself pro-life. But here's the thing. I became a conservative because I didn't want government telling me what to do and being intrusive in my life. Mm-hmm. And I'll be damned if I want a bunch of theocrats getting in the middle of my daughter's life.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. This is Mad Radio 92.7 WMDX.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome back. This is Conrad, did you see the movie Nightlight? Not Nightlight, Titanic. Good God. Big difference, I hope.
Yes, I have seen it, but it's been a long time since I've seen it.
I didn't know this, but there was a guy from Green Bay that was on the boat, and his name was Dr. William Edward Minahan. I think I'm saying that correctly. He was, first of all, this is National Titanic Day, so I don't know if people knew that. Did you know that?
I did not know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Pretty big day. And Titanic was supposedly unsinkable. I have to say, I am still perplexed. It just must have been going super fast, but it crashed into an iceberg. And I always picture a boat of that size just going very slowly. So yeah. Even though it hit the iceberg, it would be like a bump. Well, it shows you what I know. I was wrong. It sunk. It was the biggest boat ever, and it sunk. But in the movie, which was Oscar-winning in 1997, Jack Dawson's character, who's played by Leo DiCaprio, was from Wisconsin. He allegedly grew up ice fishing in Lake Wissota, which did not exist. It's man-made, and it didn't exist until years after the Titanic sank. I think they probably did that because it was mentioned in the Titanic as a fictional area. But the film has an actual factual connection to our state, and especially to this area. As I mentioned, Dr. William Edward Minahan, a local historical figure, died. He is buried inside Green Bay's Woodlawn Cemetery. And I'm looking at a picture. He's got this, like, kind of crypt. It's a big to-do. It's, like, kind of set apart from the other graves. It's an alleyway. Riverside Drive in the village of Alloway, Woodlawn Cemetery. It's the final resting place of the area's historically acclaimed citizens. One of them sits in a relatively small mausoleum known locally as the Minahan Crypt. Isn't that weird? First of all, it's weird that they were able to recover his body. I mean, I guess not everybody sank 2 miles below the surface. Some people just probably died and were, but they have his body there. And I saw this on Up North News, which does a great job. They just post really cool stories from time to time. He was part of a prominent Green Bay family, the Minahans, and I guess he was better known in Fond du Lac. He was a doctor. But on April 15th, he was leaving Ireland and bought a first-class ticket, and he was traveling with two women. I want to say one of them was his wife. I read this morning and I've already forgotten. But no, I'm sorry. His wife, Lillian, and his sister, Daisy. They were also in the same cabin. They escaped on lifeboats, but Dr. Minahan was not as fortunate. They were awakened by the sound of a woman crying outside their cabin. They got on lifeboats. William did not. His last words to them were, "Be brave." Like, that could have been in the movie.
That could, yeah, wow.
You know, that's pretty dramatic stuff. And the fact that, well, I guess the two women lived and they're just reporting this. It's like oral history or whatever, but pretty cool stuff. And he's buried here at Woodlawn Cemetery. It just goes to show you, and we... Pardon me. When we launched Nightlight, I was trying to reach out to people around the state. I want to know who is from your town. What is something cool that happened in Baraboo or Ashland or Eau Claire or Mineral Point? Folks, feel free to share these stories with me because I find them fascinating. And this guy right here has been buried, you know, for decades, obviously, right here in Green Bay. And they're encouraging people to go see it with this article, basically saying, Just be respectful when you visit. And do not enter the cemetery at night. If you have to be told that, something's wrong with you. I don't need to be told not to enter a cemetery at night. Pardon me. The ship only had 20 lifeboats and 1,500 people died. It was considered unsinkable. That's really interesting. So there you go. National Titanic Day. A little more dramatic than National Laundry Day.
Just a little bit.
I digress. Now you can still get in on that fun. How many times can you wear clothes before washing them? What's appropriate in your mind? 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Are you monitoring those texts, Conrad?
I am.
Okay, good.
Here's a question, though.
Yeah.
How many times do you wear socks before washing them?
Well, I got to tell you, I wear socks once, but unless... Yeah. Let's say this. Let's say if I go to bed at night in clean socks, let's say I showered just north of 5 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
And I just hung around the house. If I'm getting up, if I'm just going to run errands or I'm going to do yard work or something, I'll put the same socks back on.
Okay. Yeah.
But I will say this. When I was your age, I was kind of like you. Like I had to, no, clean socks. I'm not putting those on. Like. And as I got older, I'm like, there's not a disease on them, basically. I mean, how gross are your feet that you can't wear them for 4 hours in your house and put them on to do yard work? You know what I mean?
I'd give them the day rule, you know. I can wear them for a full day.
Okay.
And then they have to go in the laundry.
So that's your, okay. That's not too bad. So you would do that too. You'd wear them the next day. You'd give them a second wearing.
Well, I'd. Like, yeah, if I got out of the shower and put socks on for some reason, then yeah, I'd wear them the next day again.
Okay. Does that same rule apply for underpants?
I don't know. I think I'd just put some new ones on.
I'm surprised I didn't get anything for underpants. It's one of the funniest words in the English language. Nobody calls them that.
There's a lot of different names for it, so
yeah, it seems kind of old school though. I go underwear, I don't know, but yeah, it's, and boxers are different too, because boxers you could probably wear 3 or 4 times.
Well,
no, you could, but boxers are not as they're not tidy whiteys, or they're not going to absorb as much granular groinal area.
I still think you should watch it more.
Of course you should.
3 to 4 times, that's stretching it.
3 to 4 times. No way. No, I'm with you though. I kind of feel that way too. It's nice that we're bonding over a lot of stuff. And now Aaron's left and we've done some really good work here. So he's just gonna have to catch up later and listen to the podcast. Where can people listen to the podcast if they miss it the first time, Conrad?
Yeah, so we're on Spotify, Apple Music, or Apple Podcasts. And we're on the Civic Media website, so civicmedia.us.
There you go. So, yeah, check us out. Give us a like if you're in the mood. There are some birthdays today. Before we get to Chris Foran, I'm very excited to talk to Chris. Do you think the UP should be part of Wisconsin or Michigan?
Well, it's connected to us. So
it is.
I think it should be part of Wisconsin.
But do you really want it?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
It's beautiful up there.
Oh, it is. Oh, of course, it's beautiful. But I find that I've when I ask people this, they're kind of like, yeah, it should be ours. They're like, yeah, but I don't care. It's not like we're going to go to war over this thing.
No, no one's going to go over war for that.
For the UP.
But I always found it fascinating how it's connected to us and it's Michigan's.
Yeah, I'm with you. Tom Jefferson's birthday today. He did some good work back in the day. Al Green turned 78. When we come back from wherever we go, I'm trying not to say that. Coming up next on Nightlight, from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, entertainment reporter Chris Foran. Always fun to talk to Chris. This is Pete Schwabba in Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Mad Radio WMDX, Madison's home for the Todd Lobel Show.
ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu. The Supreme Court today takes arguments on the legality of the charges brought against January 6th insurrectionists.
Federal prosecutors have charged more than 300 people with obstructing an official proceeding, including Donald Trump. Today, the High Court will hear arguments over whether the obstruction law has been properly applied. It was passed in 2002 as part of the Sarbanes-Oxley financial reforms. Defense attorneys say it applies to documents and congressional investigations. Federal prosecutors say it can and should be read to cover the riot that delayed the counting of electoral votes. Stephen Portnoy, ABC News, Washington.
Jury selection resumes today for Donald Trump's hush money trial in New York City. Not a single juror was chosen on Monday. The New York Yankees announced that health concerns are spurring the immediate departure of 85-year-old longtime radio play-by-play announcer John Sterling. This is ABC News.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. A Wisconsin maker of firefighting foam has reached a $750 million settlement with public water systems with harmful PFAS chemicals in their drinking water. Tyco Fire Products use foam containing PFAS at its firefighting training facility in Marinette. 3M and DuPont have also recently settled PFAS lawsuits over polluted drinking water. U.S. House Republicans will have just a one-vote majority after Wisconsin's Mike Gallagher steps down Friday. Former Northeast Wisconsin Congressman Reed Ribble says he's not alarmed.
Let's face it, Congress really isn't doing anything, and they're not going to be doing anything. This last few months in session is going to be all messaging bills.
Ribble on WISN-TV's Upfront program Sunday. And that's what you need to know. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
Max Inc. on Civic Media, live in the lair with Kaylin Cole.
Have you ever walked away from a karaoke performance thinking, yeah, that was a lot better than the original person?
Oh my gosh, I don't know if I should admit that or not.
I think you should. Because now we know there's a song.
Jimmy's talking on it now.
I know. Oh, you're going to get me in trouble, Jimmy.
It's live in the lair. Grab the podcast now at maxincradio.com and listen live on Saturday night, 6 to midnight, across the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
A little sunshine this morning with clouds increasing and scattered thunderstorms developing by later this afternoon. It's going to be cooler and windy today with a high of 62. More rain and thunderstorms tonight into tomorrow with an inch or more of rain possible. Could also see a couple of strong to severe thunderstorms later today into tonight as well, so be weather aware. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 45.
Welcome to the Lazy Oaf Lounge, Madison's east side place for friends and family to meet for fun and food. Stop in for great daily lunch specials, soups made from scratch, and jaw-dropping burgers, wraps, and sandwiches. Plus Friday fish fry and homemade pizza cooked in a classic stone hearth pizza oven. The Lazy Oaf Lounge, 1617 North Stoughton Road in Madison. Follow them on Facebook or at LazyOafLounge.com.
Mad Radio 92.7 FM, home of the John and Gordy Show. Nightline with Pete Schwabba.
I'm really excited right now because I've wanted to have this guy on for a while. He is a legendary stand-up comedian. You know him as Tom Dreesen. Tom, welcome to Nightline.
Pete, it's nice to talk to you. Let me tell you how I became a legend. All my critics are dead.
Did you have anything to do with that? Don't say anything, Tom.
No, I refuse to answer on the grounds it might incriminate me. I'll plead the fifth on that.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights 7 till 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
Stop. That dog does not want to be petted.
A heads up before something bad happens.
You should not send that text.
Uh-oh. Life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes, you can reverse prediabetes and prevent or delay type 2 diabetes. To learn your risk, take the one-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its Prediabetes Awareness Partners.
Broadcasting from Civic Media Global Headquarters on State Street, this is Mad Radio 92.7 WMDX.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Did
Did you miss what's hot from Wisconsin to Hollywood? Listen to Nightlight with Pete Schwab podcast on civicmedia.us. You can always listen through Spotify, Apple Podcast, or the Civic Media app. Take Nightlight with Pete Schwab anywhere you go. Once again, here is your host, Pete Schwab.
Welcome back. Thanks so much for nightlighting with me. See what I did there, Conrad?
I did.
Pretty clever, huh? Tomorrow night on the show, comedian actor Rick Overton will be here, and WRJN morning host Don Rosen. We had Don on last week and totally ran out of time. It was not fair to Don, so we've decided to make it a mini series. He will be here tomorrow night, and Rick Overton has been in movies like Groundhog Day. Just a great comedian. Was a good friend of Robin Williams, part of that San Francisco comedy scene in the 1980s. He'll be here tomorrow night. I'm excited to talk to Rick. But right now, I'm excited to talk to and welcome my next guest as well. He is with the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel and an entertainment reporter. And his name, you might recognize from Nightlight with Pete Schwab, Chris Foran. Hey, Chris.
Hey, Pete. How are you?
I'm doing very well. Thank you for, as always, taking time out on a school night to spend time with us here.
Yeah, indeed.
You've had so many articles that I thought were so cool recently. I can't even keep track. Oh, thank you. You're welcome. Pardon?
So thanks for reading.
Oh, thanks. You're very welcome.
We do not take it for granted.
No. And you do great work. The Chris Farley movie. Very interesting. Why did this take so long, Chris?
My guess is it was a rights issue or something. A lot of times it's just, somebody has to, you know, they have to option the book and then they have to find somebody to work on it. And they attach some names to it. You know, that usually helps.
Yeah. And it's based on his brother's book, which is right. Chris Farley, I think A Life in Three Acts, if I remember correctly.
Yeah. The Chris Farley Show. Right. Yeah. It's a good book.
Is it? Yeah.
Yeah. And obviously to put it, you know, an actor who's pretty good, Paul Waller Hauser, won an Emmy last year. And,
yeah.
He's been in a surprising number of interesting things, and so we'll see what happens. That just because there's people attached to it doesn't mean it's going to happen, but it makes it closer to happen.
Yeah, exactly. What do you think of when you think of Chris Farley, Chris? Like in terms of, you know, a lot of people used to say Belushi was a really good actor, despite how funny he was. Would you put Farley in that category, or because he was a really talented guy, he's a pretty good actor?
Yeah, I mean, there's, you know, Tommy Boy is probably a generational, I mean, I'm a little old for it, but Tommy Boy was sort of a generational classic for its time. And I think a lot of times when a comedian, you know, starts playing like dramatic roles, they're really playing a version of themselves. And
yeah.
So you get the humanity of Chris Farley in a way, like in movies, especially in movies like Tommy Boy. I still think of him in a sketch on Saturday Night Live, the Chris Farley Show, you know, where he's interviewing famous people. His interview with Paul McCartney was still one of my favorite Saturday Night Live moments.
So great. I mean, the Chippendales thing he did with Patrick Swayze, it was such an easy laugh, but it was so like that guy could commit, you know, and that to me is what made him so great.
He was all in from minute one.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. And Josh Gad will direct. That's interesting too. So that should be, I really hope they crush it. That seems like it'll be a good film. So I have another question for you, Chris, and this is a little controversial. I don't mean to stir up anything here. I don't want to get you in trouble, but should the UP be part of Wisconsin? Should we try to take it back?
Well, I live in a divided household. My wife is from Michigan. So, I have to tread carefully on this. A cynical person, I'm not suggesting I am that person, might suggest that in the Toledo War, where Michigan and Ohio fought over Toledo and Michigan got UP as a consolation prize, that they both lost. But I don't know. I mean, you think about it. I mean, it's very pretty up there.
Yeah.
There are not a whole lot of jobs up there. There used to be copper mines and things like that, and there used to be a big Air Force base. All of that is gone now.
Yeah, I think if it was further south, or if it was like had a better climate, there'd be 3 million people living. It's very beautiful.
It is very beautiful. Well, and the story that we published the other day was actually an offshoot of a story that I wrote a couple of years ago about how at one point Wisconsin was much, and when it was a territory, it was, or part of a territory, its borders were much bigger. I mean, Illinois encroached on the bottom.
Right.
They created Minnesota out of a chunk of the western part of that territory. And so it's not, we don't just lose stuff to Michigan. We lose stuff to all sorts of
things. Yeah, we're very precariously positioned here. I thought it was funny in your article, though, like, you know, everyone I talk to that says, and Conrad just said, yeah, that should definitely be part of Wisconsin if you look at a map. But everyone's right. Like, does it bother you? No. Like, no one really cares. It's like, it's not, yeah. And we didn't even lose it to Michigan. Michigan lost it, or Ohio lost it to Michigan, right?
Well, they was, all of that was part of the same territory,
right,
at the beginning. And then Ohio was created, and there was a debate over whether, when Michigan, I think Michigan's formed after Ohio, so that there was a debate over what would happen with Toledo, because Toledo was a major city at the time.
And, yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, we didn't have it. I mean, this is all, you know, parlor tricks, really. But if you've been there, you know that, you know, the culture is pretty similar to northern Wisconsin.
Yeah.
You know, I think Wisconsin probably has fewer militias, but, you know.
I think also that people in Wisconsin, it's funny to me, like when you say something to people in northern Wisconsin or where I live about an accent, they're like, oh no, that's a Youper accent. Like, what happens when you cross this line to you? Like, it's a whole different dialect.
Well, I when I was growing up, people always insisted that people here didn't have any accents.
Right. I love that one.
The mythology was that all the newscasters all came from the Midwest because there were no accents. It was just, you know, garbage. So.
And people are very—they're very sensitive about accents too. I always say, like, what? Everywhere has an accent. Like when they make movies about people in Brooklyn, they talk like that, or in the South, and people don't get bent out of shape about it. You know, the Wisconsin accent is kind of a heart. It's kind of a warming, sing-songy, fun accent. Why do people get upset about it? I don't get it.
Yeah.
So, do you have any Milwaukee Film Festival news for us, Chris?
You know, the thing that's interesting to me about the Milwaukee Film Festival, you've been talking about the Wisconsin Film Festival, which I sadly have never been to, because they always do a great job, I think. The Milwaukee Film Festival, the most popular attraction every year at the Milwaukee Film Festival is the Milwaukee Film Festival. The movies are, not to denigrate any of the picks they make, they show some fascinating stuff. But I think when you go to screenings, people are just kind of like, they like to be there. You know, and there's a very, and you've been there. Definitely a vibe at some screenings. I always put together a list of suggested picks that are, you know, formed by my interest too. But the brutal truth is that I go when I have an opening in my schedule. If I'm not smart enough to take schedule days off, I just kind of, like, I went on Sunday afternoon to a movie and I had a window of a couple hours. So I went to see a movie called Mountains at the Downer. That is made in set in the little Haiti neighborhood of Miami. And it was, I knew about the movie. It wasn't on my first tier of pick lists, and it was terrific, you know, and there are some things that are really, you know, that are standout type attractions there. I think tomorrow night, is it? They're showing The Cabinet of Dr. Caligari.
Yeah.
It's a 1920 silent film with the Anvil Orchestra plays music accompaniment.
That's so great. Silent film.
I've been to those in past years. Those are always amazing.
You put out a list, the 28 films, suggestions. Obviously, I know you haven't seen all of them, just based on what you read, of course, too.
Yeah, right.
But what else, if people are still planning on going, is there a recommendation you can make? And I agree, that was a great way to say, because you're right, it is the festival. It's festive, it's an event, it's kind of a spectacle. Like, they love the film festival, just the fact that it's there.
Right. And there might be things that are not for you, but there's nothing that's like, you know, it's not like watching a B movie on television. Boy, that was a waste of my time. You're not going to have that experience. And there are some, like if you went to the Wisconsin Film Festival, there are a number of movies that are at this festival that were there. So the Richard Davis documentary,
The String Theory.
That played it. Madison, and it's playing here. I don't know, when is that? Tonight, right now. This afternoon, it plays again on the 20th. Caligari plays on the 18th, which is Thursday.
You
know, some of these movies are movies that you can see before they come to theaters proper, like Robot Dreams is their closing night film. It's nominated for an Oscar for Best Animated Feature. It's supposedly coming to theaters. I've seen trailers for it elsewhere later this summer. The movie Thelma with June Squibb as a 93-year-old woman who gets scammed by a phone scammer and she decides to go after
him. I really want to see that. I love reading about that.
I think the festival's remaining screenings are sold out. But yeah, that's supposed to come to theaters. I saw that the Made in Milwaukee movie Corridor with Wes Tank, that is also sold out.
Right.
There are movies that I would have loved to have seen. I would love to see, like the, I really enjoyed the movie Drive My Car, which a couple years ago when it was nominated for Best Picture, Japanese film. And the person who made, the director made that, has a movie called Evil Does Not Exist.
Oh yeah.
And it's about people who live in a small village who discovered somebody's planning to develop a glamping site, you know, glamorous camping, and it could and it could threaten their water supply.
Oh wow. It's
kind of an interesting movie.
That's hilarious.
Know, and I mean that is not the kind of movie that might get, you know, distribution here.
So, right.
Over the weekend, I managed to see Anselm also.
That
only showed once though. So you can't see it now. But you don't often get to see a 3D documentary about a painter,
right?
You know, right. It doesn't happen a lot, you know. And so it's worth
seeing. Yeah, totally. My guest is Chris Warren. He is a entertainment reporter for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. We're talking movies in the Milwaukee Film Festival. Did you see Angels of Dirt?
I didn't. I heard good things.
Yeah, it's good. It's Wendy. Yeah. Did you see her first film or her last film, I should say, The Smart Studio Story?
No, I didn't.
Oh, that's good too. That was one that played Madison too. And I'm glad they're doing that now. It seemed like there used to be a rivalry between, two cities in general, but
sometimes there's a rule that if it plays one place, it can't play the other.
Yeah.
And until a couple of years ago, they weren't both in April. The Milwaukee Film Festival was in the fall, and they moved to April, I think, last year or the year before. I can't remember. And so that could be a factor. I don't really know. It doesn't seem like it's an issue anymore, though.
Yeah, well, that's good. I don't think the state is big enough where we should have these rivalries or these. I know they exist.
Right. Well, and there are people who go to both, but not enough for that to be.
Yeah, no, that's good.
Because sometimes the Chicago Film Festival, which is huge, you know, they bring like Tom Cruise in and people like that. Sometimes they will have a restriction. That happens with concerts more than it does with movies.
But. Okay. Yeah, I like the way you said that too. Like you see films and there is something for everybody, but there are films I've seen at film festivals that I never would have seen were it not for the film festivals. And mm-hmm. that is what I love about them, in addition to the Q&As and everything. Mm-hmm. So I sent you some stuff I've been watching.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Let's discuss if you've seen anything on that list or if you're watching something cool, we should get into it.
Well, the only one, unfortunately I've gone in on everyone's binging, but I binge movies, which puts me in a smaller category. I think the only show that I've seen more than an episode of in that list is Ripley.
Oh yeah. Okay. What did you think?
I've only seen the first couple of episodes. So it's building. It's a very much a slow burn type show.
It is. It does pick up, Chris. I would say.
That isn't a criticism at all.
Yeah.
Andrew Scott is great in every single thing I've ever seen.
He is so good in this.
And you know, I've seen endless versions of, you know, that Patricia Highsmith wrote. I forget which Ripley this one is based on, Ripley novel, but like I've seen most of them.
Yeah.
The guy who made
The Talented Mr. Ripley
that I saw the other day, Anselm, he made a movie called The American Friend in 1977 with Bruno Ganz and Dennis Hopper that was based on a Tom Ripley novel.
Hey, let's pick it up right here, okay, Chris? We've got more with Chris Foran coming up on Nightlight. Next with Pete Schwab. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Mad Radio 92.7 WMDX. Matt and Air on Air.
Welcoming Arizona to the 1860s. Arizona's highest court upheld an 1864 law. Physicians are now on notice that all abortions except those necessary to save a woman's life are illegal. When do we decide she is sick enough or close enough to death that I need to do this procedure to save her life? None of that is codified.
Matt and Air on Air. Weekdays at 11 on Mad Radio 92.7 WMDX and the Civic Media app.
Retirement can be scary, but only if you're not prepared. That's why AARP created thisispretirement.org. Because unless you've already retired, you're in pretirement and you still have time to plan. Learn about retirement savings options, potential tax breaks, and how you can build savings over time. Visit thisispretirement.org for free resources to help you customize your action plan and feel the retirement fear disappear. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Mad Radio 92.7 FM, home of the John and Gordy Show.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome back. Got a few more minutes here with Chris Foran from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. We're talking movies and TV, as we so often do. Chris, yeah, and what I was going to say about Ripley was I kind of felt like it took, not that it wasn't interesting, but it did take a couple. There's a lot of setup, and they do it beautifully. I think it's very well shot. I like the black and white. But, man, there are some episodes where horrible things are happening, and they're taking their time. So I'd be curious to know what you think once you get past those first couple episodes.
It's the versions that I've seen before are usually 2 hours, you know,
right?
And the one, the most people that they know the story at all, they know the movie The Talented Mr. Ripley with Matt Damon and
Jude Law, right?
Yeah, Paltrow and Philip Seymour Hoffman, and,
right? And,
there's one in the early 60s with Alain Delon, the French actor, called Purple Noon. I mean, it's an endless font of interpretation.
Absolutely. You said you're more of a movies guy. I know that about you now. Have you seen anything you can recommend to us?
I'm trying to think of what I've seen lately. Like I said, I've been to the couple of things at the festival. I have a serious addiction problem with the Turner Classics Movies has an app. Called like a streaming app. It's like a DVR for Turner Classic Movies. And
oh, sweet.
What I end up doing is just sorting to what they most recently have shown or what's expiring next, and then I watch that. But then what I saw in the theater. Another one I saw at the festival that I think there's still some more screenings of is a movie called Tokyo Cowboy about a salaryman, a guy, you know, working man in Japan who works for a big food conglomerate, and they discover they have an asset. That they didn't know they had a cattle ranch in Montana, and he goes there to try to make it more efficient. And of course, you can imagine what doesn't happen.
I thought that sounded interesting. Yeah.
Yeah, it was really, really good. I really liked Shirley, the John Ridley's biopic of Shirley Chisholm with Regina King. That's really worth seeing.
Was that at the festival? Was that at the Milwaukee Film Festival?
No, it did screen here one night. It's on Netflix.
Okay. He's great. He's so talented.
Yeah, he's an interesting guy. A very thoughtful person. And patient with dumb reporters' questions, which is, I always appreciate.
Hundreds of Beavers?
You know, I missed it at the festival. Okay. And I know it's back. I know it's now on demand.
Yeah. They're coming on Wednesday. They're real interesting guys.
Yeah, it just came out today, and they also did the Lake Michigan Monsters.
Yeah, Lake Michigan Monster. I saw both of those at the Wisconsin Film Festival. Well,
I'm always thrilled that we've got people making movies here.
Yeah.
Despite all sorts of odds, and
absolutely,
and there are actually dozens of people making movies in Wisconsin, and they're getting distributed. You know,
right.
A local company in Milwaukee called Swift Motion Pictures that I think has 8 movies on the streaming service Tubi now.
Oh, really?
And you know, that's impressive.
That's very impressive. I think, have you been following the incentives and what's happening, that group trying to bring the incentives back to Wisconsin?
Because I've just read what the bill is.
Yeah.
What's your take on it?
Well, I think it's great. I think, to your point, there are a lot of really talented filmmakers in Wisconsin who are still making their stuff here, even without the incentives, which I find, you know, maybe they're using their own money or doing it guerrilla style. I don't know, but I really hope it passes. Yeah. I think it would benefit the state in a lot of ways.
Well, I hope that it seems like they fixed one problem that the earlier version had, which is it makes it a little more accountable for like job creation and things like that.
Right.
The old one they had that Public Enemies ate all of. The first year they had it, they had $5 million and Public Enemies got $4.6 million of it. And right. and they didn't spend any money here. So it was like, what the heck, you know? And the reason it's worked in other places is that people get jobs. And once they get a job, they get another job. It's like any other field. Once you get work, you get more work.
And I think with Wisconsin, there's so much you can film here. There's lakes, farms, forests, cities, you know, that you can pretty much film it all here if you don't need palm trees or mountains. But yeah, I hope it passes. But well, awesome stuff, man. Thanks so much, Chris, as always. And let's touch base after you. I want to talk to you. I want to see Civil War. That's on my list. I'm very curious about that.
Me too. I tied up and I've got some travel in my schedule, so I'm going to probably have to wait a couple of weeks, but it's definitely high on my list. Although the critical conversation on that is either there's a bunch of people saying it's not political enough, and some people saying it's too political. And in other words, it's just like everything else in America. We can't agree.
How do you go into a movie going, that wasn't political enough for me, or that was too political? But it got good reviews, so I'll give it a chance. And maybe we can talk about that next time.
Okay. Sounds good.
Great stuff. Thanks so much, Chris. Much appreciated.
Good to talk to you. Thanks.
You too. That's Chris Foran from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. He does great work there. Check out his stuff. Just Google, like I do, Chris Foran, Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. And I loved maybe we should take back the UP. I've had about enough of Michigan's crap. I'm just going to be honest.
I agree.
Conrad, I'll send you as an emissary, and you can get the ball rolling.
Sounds good.
You got to meet. I've lined up a meeting with several militias have banded their forces together. And I think with your diplomatic skills, you'll do great. So have you seen, you haven't seen Civil War yet. It just came out last weekend.
I've seen the trailers for it and everything. And it looks really interesting. I think I do want to see it. It seems pretty bleak.
Yeah. Everyone I've seen that has talked about it, like I kind of thought it was going to be political, but I think it leans left, which I was surprised at because I have friends on Facebook who kind of lean right, and they were like, I can't wait to see that. Now maybe they hate it or something. I don't know, because it leans a certain way, but you can make anything political. Like that sweatshirt of yours, buddy. I've been meaning to talk to you about that.
The Green Bay Packers sweatshirt.
Green Bay Packers, yeah. We need a better question. Tomorrow night, we got to have a better. I already have. You think there's a question there with the UP? Should we take it back?
Should we take back the UP?
I don't want to.
That's a great question.
Is it? Do you think people care? I don't care. I mean, if we annex the UP back to Wisconsin, which if you look at a map is where it should be, we're adding 6 billion mosquitoes to our state. That's the way I look at it. I don't think we need that. All right, tomorrow night on Nightlight, more tomfoolery and more ass jackery. Rick Overton will be here. Can't wait to talk to Rick. I've not talked to him in so long. He's a very successful actor and comedian. He will be here tomorrow night at 7:35. Don Rosen joins us at 8:20. It's going to be more night. It's going to be a lot more light in that night, and we will be right here with you, hoping you'll join us again tomorrow night. I'm Pete Schwalla. Thanks for listening to Nightlight. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. Good night, Wisconsin.
On air at 92.7 megahertz frequency modulation and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. This is Mad Radio 92.7 WMDX.
How was your drive to school?
Let me tell you, I had to get my iced coffee first. I just can't seem to put it down. My favorite rapper just announced a tour. My phone was buzzing like crazy. I'm so excited. I had to text all my friends right then to talk about it. Then someone started calling me and...
Let's try that again.
I turned my phone off right away. I never drive distracted.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org. A message brought to you by the National Highway
Traffic. You're listening to Mad Radio.
WMDX 1580 AM Columbus. W224 EG Madison.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.